books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here. 3,462 miles away, Arnold Sol looked up from his solid mahogany desk, stood and walked to a drinks cabinet built into the wall of his den. He reached for a bottle of bourbon and pulled it from the shelf. Immediately, the casing of the cabinet shifted, leaving a dark recess exposed. He walked in and the cabinet swung closed behind him. As he stood, the floor began to sink, taking him down into the earth below the ranch. He stepped off the platform into a room. He looked across the expanse at a sea of gurneys. Each was occupied by a girl in their late teens, early 20s. From each of the inert forms was a tube leading from an arm and connected to a vast array of tree roots covering the floor. The whole area pulsated with an energy that was powerful, yet dark and foreboding. The roots snaked their way toward the back of the room, thickening as they went and merging together to form a large root ball of a tree. Arnold walked to the ball and grasped it with his hands. Immediately, the room darkened and a low, primordial thrum emanated from the root ball. A fetid smell filled the air as a faint green glow spread from the tree up Arnold's arm.
Eduardo, I heard you call.
The green glow shimmered and an image of Eduardo appeared within the mass of roots, coalescing into a semi-substantial form of his son.
We have a problem. Someone has been careless. One of our protégés has turned up dead in London. Gabrielle. The thing is, she was holding a pin in her hand. I need to know what she was doing and who her mentor was. You know, I have the event tonight, so I don't have time to do it personally. Can you find out and let me know? Oh, and find out what you can about a police officer called Mr. Connaught. It ought to be easy to do. He's based in London. Once the event this evening is over, I will personally take charge of this. But if you can look into it, I would really appreciate it.
Eduardo, you always take everything so seriously. What do we care about one girl? They will never be able to trace the pin back to us. Or Gabrielle, for that matter. What do you care?
I care, Father, because it's a loose end. I feel something in this. There is more to it than it seems at first. We have spent a long time perfecting this plan, and we can't afford for one little mistake to jeopardize the whole thing. I would think you, of all people, would know the centuries of effort we have put into this. The network we have now influences nearly every FTSE corporate and even governments. If we don't watch the detail, it will all unravel.
Eduardo, we have had these setbacks before. We will have them again. Don't show your hand too much in this. Let these things sort themselves out. The chances of it coming back our way are minuscule. But if you interfere, you're pushing your head above the parapet, and that's when we'll get embroiled in something we don't need yet.
Out of all of us, I have the most control over this gift that has been given us. It is not me I am afraid for. It's you and all the work we have put in. This guy knows more than he says, and there is something else about to intervene. I can feel a disturbance. We can't afford a disturbance. It's a simple request. If you can't or won't do it, that's fine. I'll do it myself. I just thought you would be as keen as I am to stop any interference.
And Eduardo gave his father a long, hard look.
Do you think I don't know what we have here or how to use what we have?
With that, Eduardo exerted his will on the root he was holding and saw his father's face contort and him start to physically sag. He pulled his influence back and watched as his father recovered.
You're getting soft and careless yourself. I have the control on this thing now, and it's me that'll see it through to the end. So either do what I ask or keep out of the way.
Okay, Eduardo, okay. I will see what I can find.
Good. Now, I'll speak to you later. Isn't it much better when we can work together?
and he let go of the root. Arnold saw the image of his son blink away and his influence pull back. He turned sharply, made his way back to the platform and his den, picked up the phone and dialed. A voice on the other end answered.
Yeah. He knows something is wrong. Fix it.
And put down the phone. Soft? Careless? Eduardo had forgotten that it was him that had seen this dynasty to where it was. It was him that had laid and executed all the plans so far. No matter that his son's power was greater than his, no one talked to Arnold Sol that way. He would see to it that it never happened again. Andy could faintly hear the rain and the distant sounds of the storm. She looked up and straight into a pair of the deepest brown eyes she had ever seen. They were a good few inches above her own eye line. That meant he was 6 foot tall, plus. A handsome face, brown hair, straight white teeth and a crooked smile. She surprised herself. What was she? Some teenage girl sizing someone up for their potential? As her eyes focused away from his, she saw he was indeed tall, probably 6 foot 4 or more. He had a soft, kind-looking face, stubbly beard that suited the shape of that face, broader shoulders and a fairly good athletic figure. Her eyes swept back up and noticed his hair was greying at the temples and was short and tidy. His clothes were modern and on the expensive side and showed off his physique. Nice arms and a not too muscular chest.
Andy. Oh, yes. Sorry, I was lost in thought.
And she proffered her hand. He took it, leant in and planted a kiss on each cheek. Andy felt a blush reaching her cheeks. What's this? I am not a teenager, she thought. Get a grip, Andy. She stepped back, straightened up and smiled at Peter.
It's really nice to meet you.
You too.
Okay, you two. I can see I don't need to persuade you both to like each other. Andy, the reason I invited Peter over is that he's been invited to attend the Sol's company evening in Yorkshire, and I thought it was too good an opportunity to miss. So I persuaded him to take you as his plus one. Peter owns one of the tech companies I invest in. In fact, it's my most lucrative investment. I've known him a long time, and he happens to be a family friend. Oh, and I might as well add single.
Peter laughed, and Andy laughed with him. They both gave Jules a quizzical look and then turned back to each other. Andy realised that Peter was still holding a hand. She hadn't noticed, and he didn't seem to mind.
Well, if that's the introductions over, we had better get on our way.
And he let his hand slide away from hers.
We've got to get up there by 7 p.m, so let's move.
We'll never make it for 7.
We will, come on.
Peter took her hand again and began to lead her from the penthouse.
You two have a good time and behave yourselves.
Andy turned and could see the smile on Jules's face. She shot Jules a look to say, what are you doing here? But was content to let Peter lead her into the lift. Peter pressed the button and the lift took them down and he led them away through the foyer and towards the door that Andy knew led to the underground garage.
How are we possibly going to get all the way to Yorkshire in time for tonight?
Don't worry. Come on, I'll tell you in the car. Do you want to swing by yours so you can pick up some clothes for the weekend? Or are you happy to buy on the way?
Weekend?
Yeah, weekend. Well, at least till Saturday night. We've been invited to a polo match on the Saturday, and I simply love polo. So, unless you want to make your own way back tonight, the weekend it is.
Andy looked at him, and as she did, the corners of her mouth turned up.
It might be an interesting weekend. Home, if you don't mind, and if we have time.
We do have time. Where do you live?
Andy handed him her card just as they arrived at the car. She looked down at the midnight blue Aston Martin Vantage S.
Oh, it's not going to take us long then. It's beautiful.
Not too long, no.
They got in the car. Andy immediately felt comfortable in the car, the seat wrapped round her as Peter started the engine. the 4.7 V8 roared into life, confines of the underground garage enhancing the noise. He punched the postcode into the sat-nav and set off. Barrier raised to let them out.
I just have to make a call. Excuse me. Call Jenny.
He said out loud, and his car dialed the number. On hearing a woman's name, Andy's heart sank, and she wondered why. She hardly knew this guy.
Hey, Jenny, hi. Can you call Alexei at Wittenhursk and ask him if it's okay we use his lawn for a pickup? Then get Simon to bring over the chopper, and he can take the Aston back to mine. Tell him 1 hour, okay? Great, thanks. That was Jenny, my PA. She pretty much does everything for me.
Peter told her as he manoeuvred the car through the traffic.
A chopper?
Andy lifted her eyebrows.
How else did you think we were going to get there in time?
And I suppose you can fly it?
Why, of course.
And you just happen to know the owner of Wittenhurst, the largest property on Hampstead Heath?
Well, yes. Why wouldn't I? He has shares in the company.
Andy sighed and settled back in her seat. This was going to be the most interesting weekend, she thought. Even her murmuring seemed content. She would have to have words with Jules about her presumptions when they got back. But currently, she was feeling excited about what the weekend might bring. One quiet voice in her head came through as if in warning.
He is the one. He controls all. He is the conduit.
Where'd that come from? And why had it come back again now?